Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to MISC's Quarter One FY 2022 Analyst Briefing Conference Call. Azmir from MISC Investor Relations team will run through the agenda for today's briefing. Azmir, over to you.
Thank you, Anna. Very good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for participating in our first quarter financial year 2022 analyst briefing. We have with us today Encik Raja Azlan, Vice President Finance, Encik Zahid Osman, Vice President Corporate Planning, Encik Eslyn Halimi, Head of Financial Reporting, Governance and Budget Finance, and Mr. Vincent Ng, General Manager, Corporate Planning. Before we start with the presentation, I would like to bring your attention to the disclaimer slide. During the presentation, we may make some forward-looking statements in reference to our plans and expectations, whereby actual results could differ due to unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors that are in many cases beyond MISC's control. We will now proceed with the presentation on financial highlights for the quarter's performance, which will be presented by Encik Eslyn, followed by market outlook and business updates by Mr. Vincent. At the end of the presentation, we will open the line for a Q&A session. Our event manager will later provide instructions on the Q&A process. With that, I pass the session to Encik Eslyn for our first agenda, the update on MISC's first quarter financial year 2022 financial performance. Encik Eslyn, over to you.
Good evening. Thank you, Azmir. Thank you to the participants for joining MISC Berhad Quarter One Financial Year 2022 analyst briefing. I would like to bring your attention to page three of our analyst briefing pack. Lower revenue for the quarter, mainly due to the lower construction revenue from the conversion of an FPSO. However, this was offset by the higher revenue from petroleum segment, mainly due to the higher freight rates for the mid-size tanker segment. Lower profit before tax from operations during the quarter, mainly due to lower share of profit recognized in the offshore segment, following the recognition of a gain from the contract extension that we had in the preceding quarter. This was offset by the higher profit before tax from operations from heavy engineering due to the additional cost provisions that we recognized for the ongoing project in the previous preceding quarter. Moving on to page four of our AB pack. Higher revenue coming from higher revenue from petroleum segment due to the higher blended TC rates in the mid-size tanker segment. Higher revenue also coming from the heavy engineering segment due to the higher activities for ongoing heavy engineering projects and higher dry docking activities in the current quarter. Revenue also recorded a positive from offshore segment due to the recognition of construction revenue for FPSO profit, and higher revenue also recorded from the gas segment due to higher earning days as a result of the lease commencement of the BILX. Lower profit before tax from operations during the quarter, mainly due to lower profit before tax from operations coming from the offshore segment due to the increase in total construction cost of an FPSO due to global supply chain issues and China lockdown impact. This was, however, offset by the higher profit before tax from operations from heavy engineering segment due to higher revenue during the quarter, as mentioned earlier. As well as in the previous corresponding quarter, there was an additional cost provision recognized for an ongoing project. Higher profit before tax also coming from gas segments due to higher earning days, as mentioned in the revenue section earlier. On page five of our AB pack, our cash flow and profit from operations shows that it continuously recorded a reasonable level, especially our CFO, comparing between preceding and corresponding quarter, mainly due to the higher operating performance as well as improved collection that we had in the current quarter. On page seven, for cash and debt balances, lower balances that can be seen in the current quarter, mainly due to the repayment of an existing loan that we had, and this is part of our financing plan, taking into account the recent completion of the bond issuance program recently. Next, we're going on to the financial performance by business segment. On page 9, for gas and asset solutions, revenue and profit before tax were quite stable between the comparative quarters, mainly coming from higher earning days as well as commitment of 5 billion. Next page, on page 10, for petroleum and product shipping segment, higher revenue recorded as compared to preceding and corresponding quarter, mainly due to higher TCE rates for mid-sized tankers that I explained earlier. Lower PBT that we can see recorded in preceding quarter, bit lower, mainly due to reduced margin on freight rate due to higher voyage and operational costs that happening in this quarter. On page 11, for offshore business segment, lower revenue recorded as compared to preceding and corresponding quarter, mainly due to the lower revenue recognition of construction revenue for the FPSO unit. Our profit before tax, as compared to the preceding quarter, was lower, mainly due to the lower share of profit from the JV that we earned of a gain on contract extension that we had in the previous preceding quarter in Q4 2021. Whereas lower profit before tax as compared to the corresponding quarter is mainly due to increase in total construction costs of an FPSO due to global supply chain issue and China lockdown impact. Finally, in the last segment on page 12 for Marine Heavy Engineering, revenue recorded as compared to corresponding quarter higher, mainly due to the ongoing project as well as high revenue that we earn from dry docking activities. For profit, minimum profit shown as compared to the both quarters is because in the previous two quarters there was an additional cost provision that were recognized for an ongoing project. With that, I pass to Vincent for the market update. Thank you.
Thank you, Aislinn, and good evening, everyone. Hello, thanks for joining us on this call. I will take you to the market environment first. Starting with LNG on page 14 on your slide. If you recall, after a record winter season, LNG spot rates have fallen quite steeply in the first quarter of 2022. As you know, towards the end of the quarter, or the later part of the quarter, there was higher LNG imports by European countries who are seeking to reduce their reliance on Russian pipe gas arising from the Russia-Ukraine conflict. And this was partly offset by lesser demand from Asia, mainly due to China lockdowns as well as high LNG prices. Net-net, as a result of these impacts, there was a diversion of Asian-bound cargoes to Europe, impacting ton-mile demand. On the other hand, if you look at the grey line, which is the time charter, the three-year time charter rate, these have firmed over the same period. Going to page 15, from the chart, you can see that there will be lower deliveries of LNG carriers this year in 2022. However, you can see the rising trend in 2023 and 2024 to a multi-year high. There has been very strong ordering activity in the first quarter of 2022, and it's expected to remain high for the rest of the year. So we expect more higher deliveries in 24, 25, and 26. More LNG projects are expected to reach FIDs over the next 2 years due to a positive demand outlook. Europe's aim to diversify away from pipe gas from Russia is also expected to support an even stronger LNG project sanctioning environment, and we noted that the number of US projects have been advancing significantly in recent months. Moving on to the petroleum segment. This has also been impacted by the Russian-Ukraine war. If you recall, the last quarter was quite a poor quarter in the end of 2021. However, we noticed that the rates have risen in 2022 for the first quarter, and particularly for the Suezmax and Aframax segments. And this has also been a result of the war in Ukraine, leading to changes in all trade patterns, and as a result of which they had longer haul routes. With Western countries shunning Russian oil, more Russian crude has been shipped out to the eastern areas of China and India, while Europe has been importing oil from other newer regions. This has supported the demand for mid-sized tankers. On the other hand, the VLCC rates have remained soft, given that a lot of it has been employed on long haul routes between US and China. So China lockdowns has also impacted the demand for VLCC cargoes. In the immediate term, there are still some risks on the global environment in terms of the weakening global economy and combined with elevated oil prices and continued China lockdowns. Going to page 17. As you can see on the chart on the left, although there will be more new build deliveries in 2022, the overall order book for tankers are relatively small. On the whole, the current tanker order book as a share of the fleet stood at a record low of about 6% for at the start of quarter 2, 2022. And on the other hand, if you look at the chart on the right, the demolition activity has remained limited. Although the short-term outlook remains quite uncertain given the geopolitical situation in Europe, we expect that with there will be gradual demand recovery over the medium term, and coupled with the positive environment in terms of a slow fleet growth, and this should improve the conditions for the tanker market in the medium term. Moving on to the offshore segment on page 18. Despite headwinds, I think the outlook for the offshore capex spending continues to be positive, supported by the reopening of economies and borders, gradual return to more normal levels of activity, and high oil prices and recovering oil demand. The growth of FPSO awards expected to come mainly from Latin America, Africa, and Asia Pacific over the next 12 to 24 months. That concludes the business environment, and I will now move over to the business update on page 20. For the gas solutions, gas assets and solutions segment, we will continue to explore opportunities in conventional and non-conventional markets. The petroleum segment for the current quarter, the portfolio mix is 65 to 35 term to spot, which is a decrease from last quarter. In the first quarter of 2022, we took delivery of four new vessels, two DPSTs for Shell, one LNG dual fuel VLCC for Total Energies, which is the world's first LNG dual fuel VLCC, and one DPST for Petrobras. Subsequent to the quarter, we took a delivery of the second dual fuel VLCC for Total Energies. During the same quarter, if you look at the next page, we sold one Aframax and redelivered three LR2 and one chemical vessel. We also like to report that in April, MISC through AET has signed an MOU with Lloyd's Register and Samsung Heavy Industries for the development and construction of two VLCCs which can be operated on zero emission fuel, which is ammonia, and which is targeted to enter into service in 2025 and 2026. For the offshore business, our focus will be on the execution of our FPSO project that is ongoing, while at the same time selectively sourcing for other opportunities. Finally, on heavy engineering, which is on page 22, during the quarter, our MHB was awarded the provision of the front-end engineering design competition for the Kasawari Carbon Capture and Storage Project from Petronas Carigali. The order book backlog as of March is 1.9 billion ringgit, and the ongoing heavy engineering tenders is 18 to 19 billion ringgit. On the business development front, MHB has signed a strategic agreement with clean technology company Silverstream Technologies to support the business in Silverstream's air lubrication technology, which is for purposes of reducing emissions. And finally, MHB has also entered into an alliance with Singapore-listed Dynamac for the purpose of mutual cooperation and joint bidding on targeted international projects relating to module fabrication, vessel conversion integration work for projects in the energy space. So that concludes my presentation. And I will now pass you back to Azmin.
Thank you, Jaslyn and Vincent, for the presentation on the financial performance and business update. With the completion of the presentation, I would now like to hand over the call to the event manager who will guide and manage the Q&A session. Anna, over to you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Participants with questions to pose, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you will be placed in the queue. To cancel your request, please press 02. Please state your name and company you represent before asking your questions. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's 01 on your telephone keypad now. Your first question is from Stephen Chan, who's from Kenanga. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for the call. I just have a couple of questions. I probably ask them one by one. The first question I have is, can you remind us again what happened in the last quarter, share of fit of joint ventures? Why was it unusually high? And what is the main reason for the decrease quarter to quarter?
In the previous quarter, preceding quarter, we had a contract extension for our JV. With that, with the extension, we recognize again from that contract extension. That is why in the preceding quarter, the number is much more higher than this quarter.
Okay. And also, my question, second question is regarding the lockdowns in China. Just wondering how does it impact any of your operations, your offshore business operations? Does it impact the delivery of the Merrow FPSO? And if so, would there be any penalties involved for any late deliveries or any changes to the project IRRs that we should be aware of?
Yeah, thank you, Stephen. Azlan here. Yeah, there has been some slippage as a result of the Ukraine conflict as well as the lockdown in China. And as a result, we have actually booked in some additional costs during this quarter. There's also been a slight slippage in the time as well. But nevertheless, the project still remains profitable and it still is going to generate a decent return.
Can you just roughly guide us, you know, how long would the delays be and how much has the cost risen? How much does it impact the total capex of the project?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of delay impact, today we are looking at about 3 months delay, and in terms of cost impact, between 5 to 7%.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Raymond Yap, who's from CIMB. Your line is now open, Raymond. Please go ahead.
Hi, evening, everyone. Yeah, thank you for the call. Okay, so just following up from Steven's question on the Mirror 3, Azan, could you share with us what is the percentage of completion right now for the Mirror 3 versus your schedule? And how many percentage points in the completion rate are you behind?
Yeah, there's about, I think we are now 40% or so, and we are probably about, 3 or 4% behind schedule.
Okay. All right.
And, but then again, Raymond, you will notice that we are not alone here. All the, the majority of the FPSO players who are undertaking conversion projects in China at this time, most of them are facing the same problem.
Okay. Are you able to get an extension in your completion date? Have you started negotiations with Petrobras, or is it too soon to do so?
So we are working on it. We have informed them, and you know, at the moment is going to. We're trying to find ways to resolve the issues on the ground, but definitely we will be going through that process now.
Okay. Has the lockdown already stopped?
It has improved. It has improved. The lockdown in Shanghai has started to improve. We are seeing some improvement in terms of the movement of people as well as equipment, but we are not completely out of the woods.
Okay, Azlan, could you remind me which yard are you using in China again?
Mainly in the Yantai yard, lah. The CMC Yantai.
Okay. Sorry, this is what yard called? Is it? Sorry, what's the yard again?
CMC Yantai.
Okay. Right, I understand. So Yantai is actually in Shandong province. It's not in Shanghai. Has it been affected by the lockdown directly, or is it indirectly because of the logistical issues via the Shanghai region?
Yeah, the Bohai Bay has also been affected as well. Yantai is on the Bohai Bay.
Yantai is on the... Sorry, I couldn't catch you.
You're right. It's in the Shandong province on the Bohai Bay.
Right. So was it affected by the lockdown? Because I only hear Shanghai has been affected.
Yeah, there are other locations as well that are also affected. Because you need to get people and equipment will come in through Shanghai to a large extent.
Okay, sure. Okay, so one detailed question about the first quarter, how much was booked in for construction revenue and profits?
In terms of the first quarter, somewhere between 100 to 150 or so.
For revenue?
In terms of construction revenue?
For revenue, how about profits?
Yeah, profit, we needed to rebase our numbers. Because we had to account for that, some of the adjustment to cost. So therefore we did need to make some cost adjustment. That's why you can probably read into it as you see the movement in the numbers between the quarters.
Okay, so it booked a loss, you mean, is it? There was a negative contribution from the Mira 3 construction. Sure.
Correct. But again, let me remind you, these are just finance lease accounting numbers, which are based on a set of assumptions. The cash flow is still intact. We will get the cash flow when the asset enters into service. So, and then, we've also been slightly taken a conservative approach now in the assumptions for this finance lease accounting.
Okay. So just if I'm looking at your decline in the offshore profits, it looks like maybe about 10 million loss. I don't know. Is that too much?
Maybe not as high as that, Raymond. You're talking about USD, right?
Yeah.
Not as high as that.
Okay. Sure. Okay, just moving on to the tanker performance. So the first quarter tanker profits didn't really show any impact from the higher spot rate. Is that because the tanker rates are sort of lagged and therefore you only feel it in the second quarter? And on that note, how has the tanker profit performance been so far in the second quarter?
We have got a huge chunk of our business which is on time charters, and those are not affected by the spot rate. And if you look at the rate, it was more good rates for the MST, but the VLCC was not really a good rate, So Afra has benefited. Suezmax also has slightly benefited towards the end of the first quarter, but the VLCC, the rates remain depressed,
Okay, So were you impacted by the depressed spot rates of the VLCCs in the first quarter, or was it actually lost?
We were, to a certain extent.
Okay, so you have some of the VLCCs on the spot market then, right? That's why you were negatively affected in the first quarter. Okay. Well, Vincent, you usually give us some breakdown of the spot exposure by tanker segment.
Yes, Raymond, I will do that now. Okay. Okay, you take it down. VLCC is 75 to 25, which kind of answers your previous question. Suez is 58 to 42. Aframax is 56 to 44. So probably all the three segments have a higher spot exposure.
Wow, okay. 25% for VLCC is much higher than the previous quarter. Last quarter, you only told us 6% spot. Now it's 25%. Okay. So this is is there something deliberate that you're doing in order to try and get exposure to the spot market?
Not entirely. I think it's also circumstantial because at that time, the rates are quite poor generally across the board. So decisions have to be taken at the operating level whether to keep them, renew them on a time charter or spot. So it was also quite difficult to get a time charter during that period.
Okay, sure. All right. So hopefully your second quarter tanker performance will be better, because it's just basically zero in the first quarter. So the last question I have is on LNG. So LNG profits did quite well in the first quarter compared to fourth quarter. So fourth quarter was about 73 million and the first quarter was 84. So it's never been this high for a long time. What's the reason for the excellent LNG performance?
Yeah, I think there was less dry docking days, number one. And I think in the previous quarter there were some repairs now.
Okay. How does the LNG segment look like?
And also, you're talking about Q4 to Q1 2022 or Q1 21 to Q1 22?
No, the last 6 months. So Q4 for LNG was...
So that would be explained, as I said, by dry docking days and certain repairs that we incurred in the previous quarters.
Okay. And how does the LNG performance look like going into the next three quarters? Can you still maintain 84 million times four, something like that?
We hope that everything, it will be stable. But of course, we need to manage the situation with COVID and also potential of higher days and all that. Barring unforeseen circumstances, we think that it's quite stable, the gas business.
Okay. Thank you, Vincent, Aslan. Bye.
Thank you, Raymond.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, that's 01 on your telephone keypad. Your next question is from Omang from UOB Kay Hian. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. I have several questions. If you don't mind, I go one by one. The first is to follow up from the question earlier. So may we know what is the spot exposure of the tankers in the second quarter so far?
We don't have that information because we provide the information is accumulative for the quarter, so we don't track it on a day-to-day basis. We don't have the information for you, unfortunately.
Okay, but roughly is the VLCC spot mix still as high as what it was in the first quarter for the month of April and May?
I think it's relatively high.
What's the reason for the higher spot the higher spot mix for the VLCC?
I think the market is generally weak for VLCCs at the moment. As I mentioned, there's been lower demand from China. As you know, there's been weakening economy. The lockdowns contribute to that, as well as the the lower demand for oil in China. So overall demand for VLCCs is quite weak, whether for time charter or for spot. The market has been picked up is on the shorter voyages for mid-sized tankers because of Europe.
All right, understood. Okay, on the second, my next question is, in regards to, I remember you mentioned earlier that you have repaid one loan and this was refinanced, May I know what loan is this and what has happened there?
Yeah, I mean, we repaid during the quarter, we repaid one of the project financing for one of the offshore projects. And we then subsequently refinanced that with the bond that we issued in the first week of April. Yeah.
Okay. So the entire bond issuance, which was roughly 3 billion ringgit, right?
It was 1 billion US. US in total.
That being used to entirely repay this loan?
Correct. I mean, we repaid the loan first, then subsequently we raised the bond. So there was about 2-3 weeks gap in the time.
Okay. Is this loan the one that where you mentioned in the annual report that had the quiet enjoyment consent?
Correct. You are right.
So the bankers had decided to exercise their option to get out of this arrangement, is it?
Yeah, some of the bankers decided to do that. The other bankers were only willing to lend on a temporary solution, and we wanted a permanent solution. So therefore, we made a decision to refinance this loan and roll out and raise the bond so that we have a more long-term solution to this issue.
Understood. So in that sense, I noticed your finance cost in the quarter is a bit higher than normal. Are there any one-off items within the finance cost, like one-off that will not recur in the next quarters, or you know, is level of finance cost a higher level that we should see
There is about 40 million ringgit due to the amortization of the upfront fees, which we had to write off, arising from the repayment of that project financing loan that we're talking about.
Okay, 40 to 50 million ringgit terms, right?
Yeah, it's about 35 to 40 million ringgit.
Okay, 35 to 40 million. So that means subsequently in second quarter, your next quarter onwards, is the finance cost should normalize back to low hundreds.
Correct, you're right. Yeah.
Okay, got it. And in terms of this particular project, is there, I believe it's linked to the litigation that you have with the client, right? Any updates on the litigation so far? Is there a more complicated process at the moment? Yeah.
Unfortunately, there is not a real concrete update. This is going to be a long-drawn affair.
Okay. Because I noticed this particular project, the production has been giving issues now and then. So I don't know, you know, any technical issues that come from this production, do they use that to raise against you in the court cases, or it's nothing to do with any production issue at all?
No. It's basically we are fighting on the arbitration issue. We disagree on the arbitration outcome.
Okay. Right. So nothing to do with any technical issues that come out in recent times?
No. Okay. I mean, production is going on as usual.
Okay, noted on that. My next question is just to quickly ask, you know, Petronas has been looking for LNG vessel new builds. And I think you were probably looking to bid for those, but you know, what is the outcome so far? Have they awarded, and are you expected to get any new vessels from for their new build program, or not? Yeah, just to get the correct concept there.
Zahid here. The tendering process is still ongoing. We understand it's at the final stage in their Petronas assessment. Hopefully we will should hear the outcome of that tendering very soon.
Understood. In a sense, are you which yard are you tying up with? Because from my understanding, all the bidders have to have some sort of tie up with the yard of choice for this particular purpose. So, are you able to share which yard you are tying with? Yeah.
Petronas have identified all the four yards, three in Korea, the Hyundai, the Samsung, and the Daewoo, and as well as the one in China. So they have identified all these four yards are okay for them, for the owners to tie with. So depending on the owner's preference, then you can pick any of the yards for Petronas tender purpose.
I see. Are you able to share maybe, I don't know, you know, some color of how many vessels you can realistically secure? Yeah.
Mm. I will not be able to comment, certainly because the tendering process is still ongoing. So any info from us would be very speculative. I don't think it's...
Okay, understood. It's sensitive, right? Okay, but if by terms of delivery date for the vessels, would it be around 2025, 2026? Which year do you expect to?
I think that is correct. That's the period where they will require the vessels between 2025 and 2026.
Okay, so that could be in time to replace some of your older vessels that may expire then, right?
Certainly, that's one of the intention of Petronas when they came out with this tender. First is to support their growing LNG business, as well as try to see the replacement of the old tonnage that they have.
Understood. But in the sense, you know, you have around... I think 10 vessels or so forth that will expire. Is all 10 vessels under this plan of Petronas to replace or replenish, or say they only replenish some and you have to take your own initiative to replenish the others?
I think that is a decision that we do not know what Petronas is going to do. But what we is
right,
very
right.
clear, it will be a two-time charter that we have with Petronas that will expire later part of this year. And I think that and then there will be a subsequent of a few more expiry of the long-term charter in the next 4 to 5 years. So the new vessel will come in 2024 and 2025. So it could be, it could, may not. So we're not sure yet.
Sorry, you said earlier there are some expiring this year. I'm a bit surprised. How many vessels are there? These are the time charters, right?
Yeah, there is a time charter. There are two vessels that are going to expire later part of this year.
Of this year, two vessels. Oh, okay.
Yes.
What are the vessel names, if you can name them? Yeah.
This is part of the Satu series, Putri Satu series.
Okay. All right. And in this case, do you have plans yet for this vessel? Are they likely to go into spot, or are they already been offered to bid for another long-term charter up there?
Currently, from MIC perspective, we are looking at all options for this vessel. Either to extend it with Petronas, hopefully we can achieve a mutual agreement on that. We also explore conversion of these vessels into other floating facilities, as well as try to see whether it can compete in the spot market. So all these options are being considered at the moment.
Okay. And just to confirm again, expiring end of this year, is it for both of these vessels? Or which particular quarter?
In quarter four.
Quarter four. Okay, got it. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, that's 01 on your telephone keypad now. Your next question is from Lim Benshane from Macquarie. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, can.
I think most of the questions I was looking to ask have been asked, but if I can just follow up, you're seeing a discussion with Petrobras regarding the delays. I just want to check, have you factored in any penalties or anything that could be punitive in the contract for the delays? On the other side of it, you know, are there no COVID-related clauses built into this contract, anything you know, that you know, you could use to get out of those penalties?
Yeah, we have informed them, and we have made the necessary provisions today, and we are going to explore all avenues, including the contractual avenues as well, to try to you know, claim for recoveries.
Okay, so you have avenue for recoveries?
There are some avenues. I mean, it's not watertight, but we will be exploring all avenues.
Okay, and are these COVID-specific provisions in there, or are you having to lean on more general sort of provisions in the contract?
Yeah, I believe more general provisions.
And just okay. If I can add to that answer, Zahid, here, it's just that in some of these contracts also back-to-back with our own yard or vendors. So that's also an opportunity for MIC to explore in terms of to mitigate any impact on this either COVID or the delay.
Okay. And do you have any sort of previously, have you taken any provisions on a potential cost overrun, or are you just you know, taking all of this on the chin in this quarter?
Yeah, that's why you see the offshore segment being impacted this quarter, is because we have booked in some cost overruns.
Okay, my question is, do you take some general provision, you know, to buffer for this sort of cost overrun, you know, in previous quarters that you can sort of make use of, you know, in this quarter, or are you only taking provisions in this quarter?
I mean, upfront we have some contingencies, but the bulk of the hit, we took it in the chin this quarter.
Okay. And going forward, should we expect more of these sort of provisions, or have you taken enough in this quarter to account for the delays?
Yeah, I mean, as I said upfront, we are not completely out of the woods. You know, there could be some additional impact going forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But, I mean, do you expect it to get worse, similar, or just, you know, less, just trajectory-wise?
Definitely, we're hoping for not as worse, not as bad as a provision. No. The situation is improving, so we hope that we will be able to solve some of the problems. But, you know, I can't guarantee you that there's going to be no more provisions. No.
Okay. My next question is on the tanker segment. I mean, could you give a bit of color on the performance of the Aframax fleet? Because, you know, the market rates should suggest that this fleet should be performing quite well. There's a lot of demand. You know, I just want to see whether you guys are actually able to capture this upside, you know, just taking out some of the drag from the VLCC side that you sort of mentioned.
Yeah, the first 2 months was not very good. There was a recovery in March onwards. So I guess overall for the first quarter, the FMX as a whole was impacted. It was a negative in the first 3 months.
Okay. So the first 2 months hurt the quarter. So going into the second quarter, should we expect a much stronger performance from the FMX segment, just given where the rates are at?
Yeah, I mean, if we maintain the current rates, we expect that it will be a lot better. I mean, at least now it's in the black.
Okay. I mean, would you be able to share just roughly what sort of rates you guys are locking in the second quarter?
No, I don't think we can share that with you at this juncture, Ben.
Okay, but you are able to take advantage of the high rates, but is my point, because I know sometimes you guys said like you're focused on lightering work or, you know, some other work that may not fully capture those rates, but you are able to do that with your spot fleet, right? Can I read into that?
To a certain extent, yes, you're right.
Right, on which account?
Sorry?
I'm right in terms of you're not able to capture rates, or you're able to capture the rates?
No, we are. Because it's not fully locked up in long-term charters.
Okay. All right, and just one last question around the LNG expiries. Would you able to just give us a feel, the kind of charters that they're on now, where does that stand relative to the spot rate? You know, as in, I'm trying to figure out whether you guys will be better off running those tankers on the current spot rates.
No, these are all very old rates that we got up front, so it is a lot higher compared to the current spot level.
It's even better than the current spot level. Okay, that's helpful. All right. Thanks a lot. That's all the questions from me.
Thank you. Your next question is a follow-up question from Raymond Yap, who's from CIMB. Your line is now open, Raymond. Please go ahead. Hi, Raymond. Raymond Yap from CIMB. Your line is now open. Please ask a question.
Right. Okay. Yeah, hi. Just wanted to double check that the production issues at the Kimanis field and the Gomusukaka fields, these have nothing to do with your semi-sub, and that your revenues have not been affected by these issues.
You are right. Our assets have not been affected by these issues.
Okay, sure. Thanks. That's all.
Thank you. Your next question is another follow-up question. This is Omeng from UOB Cayman. Your line is now open, Omeng. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Just to double check, okay, so two LNGs expiring this year. May I know how many are expiring in 2023, 2024, and
2025? Just 1 second.
For the LNG vessels, yeah.
I think in 2023, we expect another two more to expire.
Okay, and 24, 25?
We don't have the data at the moment.
Okay, but my understanding is there's at least 10 in total, right? Or 10 to 13, I think, if my memory is correct.
Yeah, probably you are correct, but I just cannot confirm at the moment. I apologize for that.
Okay, noted on that. Okay, so in and just a follow up on the an earlier question on the cost for Mero 3. So the cost is actual cost that's booked in, right? Not provisions, or are there provisions that you can potentially write back?
Yeah, I mean we make provisions to increase the total project cost. And as a result of that, that will impact the accounts now.
Okay, but you can potentially claim back if any, right? So this is not actual cost that impact. How should we see it? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is some actual cost, some committed cost, and some projected cost to completion.
Right, okay. And what is the new deadline for the delivery of the FPSO? I mean, assuming there's no more disruptions.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the deadline remains the same. It's just that we are in the midst of negotiating the new deadline. We have informed the client of the 3 months delay.
I see. All right. Okay, still in negotiation in terms of the date. All right. And in terms of your bid book, right, are you being more active in terms of bidding for new FPSOs lately? How many projects you can swallow in 1 year in terms of let's say it's a CapEx size of 1 billion at least per FPSO?
I think the focus now will be to make meaningful progress on the Mero project. That will be our focus for now.
Okay, but you are not shying away from bidding, right? You are still bidding for projects out there.
Mm. Yeah, we are, but more selective.
Okay, right. I'll note on that. Thank you.
Yo.
Hi, Omeng.
Yeah.
Answer your previous question about the LNG expiries.
Mm-hmm.
Over 2024 to 2025, we have about another six in total.
Okay. It's across both years for 2024-25.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Your next question is also a follow-up question from Limbin Shane. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just want to follow up on the bid book question. Can we assume that best case you'll win, I believe it's 5 vessels for Petronas? That's the best case that you can bid for, or were you bidding for less than 5?
Take a seat. Because it's the tender is still ongoing, there's anything I can comment on that question for now.
Okay, maybe it's more to get a sense of your appetite, right? Like, when you go for a project like this, would you just go for all 5, or are you like sort of holding back? That's sort of where I'm coming from.
Okay,
it's not an easy
question to answer, because it's depending on either you are going in on your own or you're going in as a consortium with other owners. So if you're going in with other partners, then probably your appetite and your affordability to bid more vessel is certainly higher compared if you are on your own.
Okay, and you are bidding on your own? Yes?
For Petronas, is it you say?
Yeah, in the case of Petronas, you're bidding on your own?
We are bidding on our own, but we're always open for bringing partners at the later stage if we need to.
Okay. And just to gauge your appetite, another step further, you used to say about 1 billion wins a year is sort of your target, 1 billion US. Are you still aiming for that this year?
At the moment, in terms of opportunity that we are looking at across the 4 businesses, we are looking at around $5 billion. Billions, that is what we are targeting. Are we going to get it? Yeah. Hopefully the market condition will support our aspiration.
I won't, ask you to forecast that. I'm just, trying to get a feel for whether you have the potential to surprise on the upside. If you get more wins, like more than 1 billion, you'll take it. You're not going to hold back, right? All the balance sheet constraints that you're worried about, given the state of Mero 3.
Certainly that's a decision that we need to make internally. First of all, it will be a good problem to have. Question is that what's our appetite to pursue all this and to try to secure all that? We know that our commitment on Mero 3 is always at the top to make sure that we can deliver the project as per schedule as much as we can, as well as at the cost that we promised to our shareholders.
Okay, I suppose to tie it up, I'm trying to figure out whether because of the issues at Mero 3 could affect the monetization that you guys were hoping to do, and in turn it affects your ability to go out there and tender competitively, and as a result you kind of miss the boat with the current big pickup in demand for LNG carriers. Is that a risk we should worry about?
At the moment, no, because we are still going out and participate in tenders for LNG vessels. But as you know, the LNG industrial sector is very competitive. There's a lot more players out there that's hungry for this kind of asset. So we just need to compete. Our LNG has been a very big portion of our business historically, and I think it's going to remain so for the foreseeable future. So we still have an appetite to pursue tendering for LNG vessels.
Even if you don't, if you're not able to monetize Mero 3, right?
At the moment, as far as our capital capabilities, we have taken into account Mero 3. It's not that Mero 3, we just get it yesterday, so we already know what kind of commitment and obligation that we have in our book. But we also have allocation for other businesses that we can pursue.
Okay, fair. And so just one final bit on this. What is the highest you're willing to go for your net gearing?
I mean, we take the S&P guide and the Moody's guide. I mean, S&P talks about net debt to EBITDA of 3x. So that is a good guide to follow.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from... Your line is now open, Andrew. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the call. Just a quick one from me. Could you help remind me what's the contract duration for the upcoming LNG renewals, and are there any of your fleet left on the spot market?
Could you repeat the question again?
Yep. What's the typical contract duration for your upcoming renewals for the LNG, and do you have any vessels that are left on the spot market?
LNG vessels, the renewals are usually to be negotiated. There's no fixed renewal period. We have four vessels on at the moment.
Okay. So those which are on term, the duration tends to differ from contract to contract.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Thanks so much.
Thank you. As we have come to the end of the Q&A session, I will now hand the session back to Navina for closing comments. Over to you.
Thank you, Anna. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. On behalf of MISC Berhad, we would like to thank you for your participation. The PDF version of our presentation slides will be made available in our corporate website post this earnings call. To the sell-side analysts, we will highly appreciate that you would forward a copy of your published research report to the MIS Investor Relations team for our reference. Thank you once again, everyone. Stay safe and have a good evening. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference for today. Thank you all for your participation. You may all now disconnect your lines.